Good morning. The scripture reading is Matthew chapter 21, starting at the first verse. And if you want to follow it in the Pew Bibles, it's 988. The triumphal entry, of course. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds then went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. God our Father, we do thank you for your wonderful presence here among us this morning. And we pray that as we worship in every way, please will you touch our lives. And as we listen, Lord, just speak the words that you want us to hear this morning. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we are at Palm Sunday. It did seem a long time coming this year, didn't it? Because it was so late. But here we are. Suddenly it's upon us. I always feel that it's a little bit of an unusual day, because we've just been coming through Lent, haven't we? And that's when we remember again Jesus' time in the wilderness. And hopefully it's a time we've been able to think about ourselves, to examine ourselves, and think about where we are on this journey with Jesus. And of course, as we celebrate today, we remember again the approach of Easter and the incredible sacrifice Jesus made for each one of us. I do think it's important to stop and think at this time of the year and pray, because you know many of us here have celebrated many Easters, haven't we? I certainly have. And it's very easy to start thinking that we know it all, we know all about it. But you know, there's always so much more that Jesus can teach us in every situation. At this time of the year, as I do every Christmas, I always ask the Lord to show me things that perhaps I've never seen before or never realized before. I recommend that you do that, you know, because he never fails to do what I ask. And I don't think there's a single one of the big celebrations where I don't think, well, why have I never seen that before? Why did I never realize that? Because there's always more of Jesus, and that's what's so exciting. But here we have Jesus travelling towards Jerusalem. And while he was on his way, he continued to talk with people, to heal them, to teach in parables. But all the while, he kept predicting his death. In just the previous chapter, a few verses earlier, he actually said this. "Now as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside and said to them, 'We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And on the third day, he will be raised to life.'" There isn't any comment here, is there, about what the disciples were feeling every time they heard this? What did they think about it? Anyway, on this day, as they approached Jerusalem, two of them were sent on an errand. Go to the next village and bring the donkey and the colt that you'll find there. And if anybody asks you what you're doing, just say, the Lord needs them. That seems a strange errand, doesn't it? Have you ever been sent on an errand that you've been a bit doubtful about? You know, I think, shall I do this or not? I know I have, many times in my life. But sometimes, you know, you just go because you know the person who's asking you. When I was 10 years old, which is a long time ago now, I moved from Northern Ireland, where I lived until that point, to Middlesbrough, which was originally my dad's home. And when we first moved there, we moved in with my auntie. And I wasn't at school or anything because we were getting settled in. And she kept sending me to the shops for things. But she'd ask me to get things that I didn't know what she was talking about. I had different words for them. And it was really confusing. And I used to go quite timidly to the shop and thinking, what am I going for, you know? But it did seem to work out. And I learnt the English words for loaves of bread and things like that, you know, that I didn't have before. Anyway, the disciples did go, and it all happened just as Jesus said. And Matthew then quotes the prophecy, doesn't he? Say to the daughter of Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I'm sure it was a bit later that Matthew actually worked out that prophecy was actually being fulfilled that day. I'm sure he didn't think instantly, oh, look, a prophecy being fulfilled. I'm sure it was later, as he thought it all out, he saw things. Matthew quotes a lot of prophecy. And, you know, all through the Easter story, prophecy is quoted and we see it being fulfilled. And it's quite incredible, really. You know, it isn't very easy. In fact, it's impossible for one person to actually fulfill all those prophecies that were made about Jesus in the Old Testament. When we used to work in schools, we used to take a jar of rice, which I think is coming up here, into school. And we used to put in that jar of rice, one painted red, coloured red, you know, and just stir it in. And then we'd ask the pupils to pull one out. And of course, they never picked the red one, fortunately. But that's just showing us, really, that Jesus, That was how it was. He couldn't possibly have fulfilled all those prophecies. No human being could. But Jesus did. He fulfilled every prophecy about him in the scriptures. And that is quite incredible when we think about it. Anyway, the donkey and the colt arrived. And cloaks were spread on the animals. And Jesus started riding into Jerusalem. More cloaks were spread on the ground and palm branches. And there was a great cheering as the crowds went ahead shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Who was this crowd that were all shouting, Lord, save us? Because that's what they were shouting. Save us now. And just shouting about who Jesus was, the Son of David. They were calling him the Messiah. You know, at that moment, there were several hundred thousand pilgrims assembled in Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover. And according to John's Gospel, on Palm Sunday, a group from Bethany surrounded Jesus, and they were still rejoicing over the miracle of Lazarus, whom Jesus raised to life. There were also many pilgrims there, probably from Galilee, who knew him. So they would have perhaps comprised another group. And Matthew tells us a few verses later that there were blind people, lame people, children, and probably many who had been healed. An interesting crowd. And a crowd that probably gathered momentum as it went in, because crowds tend to, don't they? It gathered momentum. There was something wonderful happening here. There was a celebration. And people like that. They like to join in the celebration. But let's think for a moment about Jesus. Why he might have been involved in an incident like this. Because until now, he seemed to want to keep his ministry quite low-key. It didn't always happen, did it? Because people followed him wherever he went. But he often told them, when he'd healed them, not to tell anybody. They did, of course. But he was just as if he was getting on with his ministry in his own way, in his own quiet way. But here, we have him deliberately putting himself centre stage, as if to say, look, I'm here. In Luke's account of Palm Sunday, the Pharisees are wanting to stop it all, but Jesus says to them, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." I would think his actions were actually quite planned and deliberate that day. Had he made plans for that donkey and colt to be available? We don't know that, do we? We don't know anything, really, but I do feel sure that this is what Jesus wanted to do on this day. What was he saying? Was he announcing to the world that he was their rightful king? He wasn't like the king they wanted, who would overthrow the enemies and set them free in that way. But he was coming on a colt. He was saying that he was a king bringing peace and gentleness. Jesus was offering to be a king who would rule over hearts and minds, pointing people to their Father in heaven. I've picked out three things that I think this tells us about Jesus. Lots more, of course, but I've picked three. First of all, courage. What a lot of courage he showed that day. He knew what was going to happen. He had told his disciples, but they possibly, like us, when given bad news, were hoping it wouldn't happen. We often think that, don't we? I hope that doesn't happen. And possibly that Sunday, when they saw the celebration, they thought he was safe. But Jesus knew that he was openly entering a hostile city. However enthusiastic the crowd might be, the authorities hated him and were trying to get rid of him. And we actually know what happened to a lot of the crowd later in the week. One book I read said it was in this action as if Jesus was flinging down the gauntlet and challenging the authorities to do their worst. What courage he showed that day. And the second thing I've picked out was his claim. He was claiming that he was God's Messiah, his anointed one. He wasn't accepting the people's cry that he was a prophet, which is what they were shouting, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Galilee." If he had just accepted that, he probably wouldn't have had to die. No, he was saying clearly that he was the Messiah, God himself even, and people must acknowledge that or not receive him at all. And thirdly, the word I've picked is appeal, his appeal. As I've said, it wasn't an earthly throne he was claiming, but a throne in people's hearts. He came lowly and riding on a donkey. You know, in Eastern lands, a donkey was a noble animal, and often a king would come riding on one, and when he did, it was a sign that he came in peace. Jesus was the King of Peace. He came not to destroy or condemn, but to love, to help, to serve, to bring forgiveness. It was an appeal to receive him as he really is. Some people did, but many did reject him. So let's think about us for a few minutes. Let's celebrate today as those people did many years ago. It's great having the church filled with balloons, isn't it? A celebration. It's a wonderful day. But let's move on as well into this next week with him. And do walk this week with him. Please read the scriptures this week of everything that happened during that last week of Jesus' life. There's an awful lot of scripture. Go right up to the indescribable sacrifice that he was willing to make for us. No one forced him to give up his life. He did it all willingly. In John 10, verse 17, he says this, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Jesus was fully in control of what he did for us. And then, of course, the triumph of next Sunday, which we will celebrate together. Jesus endured. He died and he rose again for us. And what he wants of each one of us today is to allow him to be king. Allow him to take the throne in our lives. Is he there? Is he reigning in your life today? If he is, that's great. Please ask him for more. If you're in doubt, the challenge is there for us today. I urge you to ask him to reign in you, to cleanse you, and come into your life as King and Lord. That's not just a matter of coming to church and saying, I agree. It's allowing him to take charge of your life, to be in charge, to rule and to reign. And when we do that, we can celebrate today. We can walk this week with him. We can suffer on Friday with him. And we can celebrate next week. I'm going to ask Janet to come now, and the musicians that are playing or singing with her. And please, will you just feel free to sit for this song? She's going to start singing a song which I'm sure you'll all know. There it is on the screen, Reign in Me. I invite you to join Janet in that, but please only join her if you really mean it, that you want Jesus to reign in your life today.